to Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
If you've been following along with our study of dispensations, you know by this time that we have gone through 8 dispensations. Now, we haven't personally gone through that many dispensations. We've gone through the studies, and we are presently living in the church dispensation. But we've looked at the dispensation of innocence, conscience, human government, promise, law, the church, the tribulation period, and the millennium. And now this takes us to the dispensation of eternity. And some would say, well, how can you say that eternity is going to be a dispensation? Well, once again, let me give you a short definition of what a dispensation is. The central idea in the word dispensation is that of managing or administrating the affairs of a household. And as we look further, we see a dispensation is man managing or administering the affairs of God on the earth. As long as man is present on the earth, man will be an administrator of God's holdings. And note this, if you would, a proper study of dispensations places man on earth throughout eternity future. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Keep this in mind. A dispensation is not man alone. A dispensation is not God alone. A different way of salvation is not what we see in dispensations. A dispensation is not a different means of salvation. And this is the reason that many people will shy away from studying about dispensations. But dispensations is found in the Word of God. So we must study the entire Word of God in order to understand what God has for us and for those people who have lived in the past and for those people who are going to live in the future. Well, last time as we started our study in the subject of eternity, we saw how the millennium is going to end, and it's going to end by saying, I would say this, that there is no peace at the end. Satan is released. Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8 says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." I mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again, possibly, that there was a Gog and Magog one that took place at the beginning of the tribulation period. And now we see Gog and Magog 2 taking place at the end of the millennium. Now, the devil will deceive mankind once again at the end of the millennium. He did this in the Garden of Eden, and he's done this all through the time that man has been on this earth. The war will take place, and there's not going to be anything to stop that. And notice in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 20, it says, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth." These are the people led by Satan who's going to go up against Christ. It says, "They compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city." Mankind rose up against God. Well, why did mankind rise up against God? Why did these certain individuals do this? Now, not everyone did it, but the Bible tells us who did it. John 8:44 says, "You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." For those people who have never been saved during the millennium, will not go into eternity in the sense that they will be part of those people who are welcomed in eternity by Jesus Christ. They will rise up against him because they are of their father, the devil. Well, the results of the rebellion is this. The enemies of God are overwhelmed at this war of Gog and Magog, number two. They're devoured by fire from God. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 9 says, "And the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." That doesn't mean they ceased to be. That simply means their bodies were destroyed, and they went to hell. And later on, we're going to see how that the white throne judgment takes place, and people are cast into the lake of fire where there is no escape, and the fire is not quenched. And we saw this the last time, how that in Mark 9:44 it says, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Mark 9:46, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." And Mark 9:48, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." And these are the people through all ages who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They will be cast into the lake of fire. In fact, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." You can also look in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, and you'll read about this. And when we think of this and we look at this, the earth and heaven move out of the way quickly. In other words, the term is fled, according to the Word of God here. Nothing would stand in the way or stop the judgment coming, and there is no place left for man to hide. And actually, judgment of that unsaved person who stands there at the white throne has already taken place. The judgment has already been taken place, according to John chapter 3 and verse 18. People who are at the white throne are there to be sentenced to an eternity in the lake of fire, according to the Word of God. These are people from all ages who have refused to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, notice the white throne. It says, and I'm going to read that verse again, Revelation 20 and verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Notice the word white. This speaks of purity. There's nothing sinful about God. There's nothing sinful about Jesus Christ. There's nothing sinful about the Holy Spirit. And as the white throne judgment takes place, we see white, purity. And the throne speaks of majesty and justice. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, I've mentioned before, it says this, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Now, we could liken that to a saved person who's out of the will of God. But I would go further here and say this is those people who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God will not hear them at this point because it's too late. The time of hearing man's excuses are over. The last judgment of mankind has come. Notice Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. It says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Now, I know that this is another proof text to tell me that saved people will not stand at the white throne judgment, because the Bible says that we have not been saved by works. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we're not saved by works, and we're not kept by works, so therefore, these people who are standing at the white throne judgment, they will be there. They will bow the knee to God, to Jesus Christ, who is the judge on the white throne. They will bow the knee, and it's too late for them to get saved, because the Bible says they are already judged. They're there for sentencing because of their works. Their works were abominable in the sight of God. Well, notice the word dead in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. The word dead means there's no life. No life means dead. Without Christ means without life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And once again, we go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And you hath he," and that word he means Christ, "and you hath Christ quickened," this means given eternal life, "quickened," being made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's all of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We were once dead in trespasses and sins, but we have been made alive. We've been given life, eternal life, by trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Revelation 20 and verse 12 also uses the words small and great. This means from the least to the greatest. Whoever lived on the earth are going to stand there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." It makes no difference who a person is, what they have and what they've done in their lives. They could say that I've done this and I've done that, I've fed the poor, I've helped the needy, I've done this, but unless they've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will be at the white throne to have judgment pronounced upon them to go into the lake of fire. Makes no difference if that person is red, blue, green, white, yellow, black. It makes no difference. It makes no difference if that person has had all the money in the world. If they have not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will be cast into the lake of fire. They will stand before God, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. They will stand before God, the judge who sits upon the throne. The judge is Jesus. John 5:22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Once again, that's John chapter 5 and verse 22. The one who came and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, the one who came to seek and to save those who were lost, the one who came and died on that cross and was buried and resurrected and went back to heaven, that same one who was mistreated, murdered, that same one will come back, and he is the judge. He will be the judge at the white throne. Notice the books were opened according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. All the records of what each person did while on the earth is going to be seen. And then we see the book of life. The book of life, not the book of death. Now we keep reading the scripture, and we start seeing in 1 John, and I'm going to read these verses just a moment. At this point, it's too late as the people stand at the white throne, as they kneel at the white throne. It's too late for a person to have his or her name written in the book of life. The book of life is further evidence against the person who has not passed from death unto life because they never received Christ as Savior. Their name will not be found. 1 John 5:11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." All of those individuals who have refused Jesus Christ as Savior will stand there to have judgment pronounced upon them, to be cast into the lake of fire. Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.